I'll tell you what, I don't know how good your life is apart from Christ right now, but if I understand the Word of God correctly, this is your heaven then. This is as good as you'll ever have it. Acts 26, 13 through 20. We're going to talk about our public testimony and our witness for the Lord. Why don't you stand with me, please, as we honor God's Word. In Acts 26, and verse number 13 says, "At midday, O king, I saw the way, in the way, a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen, and the things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this stirring testimony of your apostle Paul, when you met him, changed him, and sent him on his way to be a servant for you. Lord, I hope this morning that every one of us can remember a time when you got our attention. We accepted you as our Savior, and we are on a journey for you. Lord, there is a real chance that there are several people here this morning that have not made that choice themselves. I pray today is the day where they too would repent and open their eyes and receive for themselves that wonderful gift of forgiveness and choose you as their Savior. Bless this time, please, in your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Obviously, the account that I read from Acts chapter 26 is Paul's testimony of his conversion. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, Jesus is speaking and he's telling the disciples, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Witnesses unto me, or we could say witnesses for me. Every one of us are walking, talking testimonies of what we believe in. If you're an atheist, that's what you believe. If you are someone that votes a certain particular way and you carry a sign around because of that, then you are a witness to the philosophy of what you think is the right thing to do. When you meet Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you become a witness for him. Paul talked about his conversion experience as he's meeting in front of Agrippa. And there, obviously, he is on trial in this portion of God's Word for the things that he's believed, the life that he has lived. And obviously, the Jews wanted to kill him. And he appealed unto Rome as a Roman citizen. And God was using him as his testimony was going forward. This is later in his life. He's done some incredible things. But he talks about his testimony, and in his testimony, he has the confrontation where he is met on the Damascus Road. It was his intent at that point in his life to confine and kill Christians. He hated that whole philosophy. He stood firmly against it. He believed that the way of the Jew was the way to live, that Judaism was the perfect faith, that Christians were coming along and corrupting the Jewish faith. Many were being converted to Christianity, and he wanted to stop that at all cost. And honestly, he thought he was serving God in doing so. And as he's going along the Damascus Road, he saw a light brighter than the sun. It struck him down, and a voice coming from that light that said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Obviously, this was the confrontation. And he didn't even know who the voice was. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." There comes a time in every person's life where God Almighty confronts you about where you are at, who you are, and the condition that you are in before him. Now, Satan is a master at changing that narrative, trying to get you to believe that you're okay, and well, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the confrontation is when you hear from God and he speaks to you and tells you that your life is coming up short. Romans chapter 1 said that the whole world is without excuse. There is no chance that you will stand before God someday, and you will. The Bible records that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. I don't care what you think right now. The day will come when you will stand before a holy God and you will be a believer. But timing is everything. You need to decide that you are a believer before you stand before a holy God and not afterwards. And so Saul, as his name is at this point in his life, is being confronted by a holy God, and he gave him this chance, I believe, not because Saul hated Christians and just wanted to kill them. He honestly thought he was serving God in the process, and God says, "Okay, I'm going to straighten this out. You need to realize that what you think you're doing for me is actually against me, and you and I need to have a conversation." And it could be that you're here this morning and you think that you're in a good condition with God, that you and he have come to an agreement, that you're okay. And he wants you to know that if you have not repented of your sin and asked for forgiveness, you are not in a right relationship with him. And the confrontation needs to take place this morning. And that's what was happening with him. There was his testimony is that he had a confrontation, and then he was convicted about the condition that he was in. You know, conviction's a nasty thing. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." Death. Boy, isn't that a horrible word. The payment for the life that you are living apart from Christ is going to lead to your death, not just physical death, but the Bible talks about an eternal death. A death that you don't recover from. A death that you are still alive and experiencing things in, but there is no rest from it. And for all eternity, it's a death that goes on, but you never truly stop existing. It's a death that cannot die. And that type of death haunts me. I've thought many times, I thought it this week as I was preparing this message, when it comes to the idea of eternal punishment for those that will not accept Christ in their lifetime. The Bible teaches clearly that there's no rest, that there's an eternal place prepared for the devil and his angels, but people will go there that rejected God, and they will be there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and I could say that for the rest of my life forever. And there is no break from that. Now, honestly, I hope I'm wrong. I hope after a billion years you could be annihilated. I hope at some point that stops, because I would not wish that on anyone. But if I understand correctly, that's how it will be for every denier of Jesus Christ that will not take his free gift of salvation. In conviction, there's the confrontation, and there's the conviction. And people will say, "Well, Stanley, I don't like that kind of message. I don't like that kind of talk. I don't like that kind of preaching." And so they'll come to church. They'll hear the music. They kind of like that. They like the handshaking. They like the camaraderie. But when it comes to the preaching of the Word of God, a clear teaching that they need Jesus or they are in trouble and they don't want to choose Jesus because Satan is whispering to them, "Oh, you don't want to do that. That's the no fun crowd, that's going to ruin your life, you'll have no freedom, you'll never be able to do anything." I'll tell you what, I don't know how good your life is apart from Christ right now, but if I understand the Word of God correctly, this is your heaven then. This is as good as you'll ever have it. But for you and I that know Christ, this is our hell. This is as bad as it'll ever get. And I'm telling you, you and I have experienced some bad times. I'm not downplaying the trials of this life. But you and I in Christ, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered in the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those that love him. There's something exceptional beyond our sight in heaven, prepared for those that love him. And I'm telling you, I can't wait to go. Amen? But the conviction of people that Satan is lying to, that tells you you don't want to choose Christ, rather than be convicted, sad to say, and you could be here this morning and say, Stan, I don't want that conviction. Or you can say, well, I'll get through it, and then you come back next week and you feel that same conviction. And that convicting presence of the Holy Spirit grating at your personal life and saying a change needs to take place, you're living apart from God, you know what will happen? They'll bury their head in the sand and they will not come back to a gospel preaching church. They'll go home, they'll do whatever they can to get their mind off of that, delay, 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 delay until they die. What a tragedy. There is the confrontation, there's conviction, but by God's grace, some people will confess Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8 says that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm telling you, the beauty is forget fighting God. I suggest surrender. So I'll stand. Surrender means you lost. No, no, no. Surrender in Christ is the greatest victory you'll ever experience. To follow him. So Paul said, obviously in Acts 1:8 says, we'll be a testimony. Paul's giving his testimony to Agrippa. He tells him his personal story, his personal witness through the power of the Holy Spirit. So he had his testimony. Then he had his terms of endearment, if you will. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you. Okay? Now, let me tell you something. If you trust Christ, there's a chance you'll give up some of your friends. Now, are they really your friends? Well, that's a different conversation. But I'll tell you what. If some friend wants you to spend time with them and die and go to hell, they're no friend. But if you surrender to Christ, you're going to find a whole new group of friends that are a quality that cannot be compared. Look at me in our text in Acts chapter 26 and verse 16. The Lord told him a couple of things. In Acts 26, 16, he says, But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister of the witness of two things, both of the things which thou hast seen, what you've already seen right now. When you accept Christ, you know of the life that you have lived, and you are a witness of that. And if you are honest, you know that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. And that Savior will forgive your sins. All you have to do is ask for forgiveness. Voila, you have it. I won't ask for hands this morning, but are there any regrets in the room? They can be forgiven. I talked to a gentleman years ago, dying of lung cancer. It's a hard way to go. Laying in a hospital bed. He never left that bed. He passed away in that bed that I spoke to him in. And I said, do you have any regrets? Oh, you could tell. His regrets were haunting him. And that man trusted Christ as his Savior. And as he's crying there, you could see the release come off of his face and the joy that God implanted in him. And that boy was headed to hell, but he died and went to heaven. And I'm telling you, it's just a fantastic thing that takes place when someone trusts Christ as his Savior, and he is in the presence of God right now. He said, you're going to see the things that have been, and then number two, in the things which I will appear unto thee. In other words, the things, Paul, you don't even know about yet, I am going to walk through the storm with you, and that part of your life will be a testimony as well. And if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll read very quickly some of the things that the Apostle Paul went through, that he didn't know this was coming. I just want to stop for just a second. If you trust Christ this morning as your personal Savior, which I highly recommend, The trouble has just begun. Here's what happened to the Apostle Paul. He says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, 39 lashes 5 times from his own brethren. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils by the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings and cold and nakedness, and beside all those things that cometh upon me, the daily care of all the churches. What a wonderful life. You understand? Why would I sign up for that? Because it's so worth it. That's why. That's why. At the time, is it pleasant? No, but I'm telling you, I am so thankful for the God that I serve. His terms of endearment was obviously, you'll share what has happened to you at salvation, and you will share what you will learn going forward. The trials you're experiencing right now are part of the testimony that God has allowed you to experience to be used of Him. Your story matters. His testimony, his terms of endearment, and lastly, his transformational message in verse number 18. Watch what happens when you come to Christ. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them. To open their eyes. You know, one of the things that frustrates me beyond words is the wonderful message of Jesus Christ, that anybody can have it, that it costs absolutely nothing. All you have to do is ask for it. And for some reason, they will not choose Christ. And it's the greatest gift that anyone has ever, ever received. And you and I know it because we've lived it. We've experienced the joy of it. And for some reason, they just continue to live in darkness. Their eyes are not opened. I love the story that Ronald Reagan tells about out in front of the Democratic National Convention one year. This boy was out there selling kittens. Kittens, kittens, get your Democrat kittens right here. And so obviously all these Democrats are lining up to buy their cute little kittens. And then a couple weeks later was the Republican Convention. And so the same kids out there with the same kittens that didn't sell to the Democrats, and he says, kittens, kittens, get your Republican kittens. And so a reporter that was at both conventions walks up to the kids and he says, hey kid, I know 2 weeks ago you're selling these as Democrat kittens, now you're saying they're Republican kittens, what's the deal here? And he said, oh, well, these kittens have their eyes opened. You know. Of course, obviously, Ronald Reagan loved telling that story. But I'm telling you, you know what? There are people with their eyes closed, and there are people spiritually with their eyes opened. And the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, at some point, you start to see the importance of it, and spiritually speaking, your eyes are open. What happens when you get saved? Your eyes are opened, and your world gets brighter. Why? Because Satan loves darkness. He wants to keep you spiritually in the dark. He wants to control the narrative, to use a term that you hear so much about. 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4 says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, who is Satan, blinded the minds of them which believed not. Watch this, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. I'm telling you, when you see Jesus, you see light. How do you keep someone in the dark? By not telling the truth. If you're told your goodness can get you to heaven, you're being lied to. If you're told that the church membership can get you to heaven, you're being lied to. If you're told that baptism can get you to heaven, you're being lied to. Anytime lies are being told, the liar wants you to stay in the dark. We'll have some folks get baptized this morning. Why? Not because baptism saves them, but because their eyes have been opened and they recognize they needed a Savior and they have trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And to be baptized is your public profession of faith in Jesus Christ. When you're standing there, you are identifying with Christ. I would say a I'm not trying to be political this morning, but you can see what happens when someone stands with one presidential candidate versus another presidential candidate. When you stand, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're talking about, when you stand with that person, you are identified with them. And from that point on, you'll say, well, that so-and-so was a friend of so-and-so. When you stand in baptismal waters and you say you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you're telling the whole world, I stand with Jesus. And I don't know of a greater, who better to stand with than Jesus Christ, who said he'd never leave you or forsake you. You know, it's interesting to me that the Apostle Paul had this incredible experience, struck down on the Damascus Road. A bright light comes down. The voice of God himself spoke to him, and he heard it. They talked briefly, and the Lord sent him on his way. And you think, well, you know, if the Lord spoke to me like that, I'd sure get saved. I want you to know, in his way, he does. He speaks to every one of us. You cannot choose Christ without hearing the voice of God. Now you can say, well, Stan, how's he sound? Does he have a southern accent? Or is he, you know, what's his voice sound like? I have never heard the audible voice of God, but I've certainly sensed him speaking to me. He's convicted me of some things. He's told me to do certain things. I have sensed his leading at times. And I'm telling you, you can too if you would listen. And primarily, he speaks through his word. You need to get into the love letters that he sent us, 66 of those books, and read them and understand for yourself what God is saying. And I'd like to say this. You look at the story of Paul and you say, wow, how miraculous a story is that? And I want you to know that every time someone chooses Jesus Christ, it is as miraculous as the salvation of the Apostle Paul. When someone turns from darkness to light, they go from a person that is headed on the road to hell and eternal death to a road to heaven and eternal life. There's no greater transformation than that. And I'm telling you, all you have to do is believe and ask for it.